Hallelujah. Amen. What an awesome presence of God. I hope that you feel what I feel as he just spoke. And Lord, we want to be worthy of that sacrifice. And my mind went, Are we ever worthy of the brokenness of the blood that was poured out for us? And I really don't think we are, right? Never worthy, but so thankful. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that gift of God. I want to talk to you just a second. Today is the last day that you can make a nomination for the deacons. We do it differently at our church. And if you've never been here, the annual business meeting, we don't elect, we don't vote any longer. We put all the names in a hat and we let God choose, believing that it's not a popularity contest, but we want God to put on the board who he wants to put on the board. So we do things a little different. But if you're going to nominate someone, I just wanted to go over some of the criteria. So anyone can be nominated, and then for the next week or two, you can self-eliminate. You can take your name off. If there's anything, maybe you're just not ready. The Lord says don't elect a novice. You know, if you're new in your faith, here's an old saying, with every new level, there's a new devil. And it's very, very true. So when you step up to a position of deacon, you're opening yourself up to as a target, and you will feel Satan attack you. Just trust me on this. He will attack you. And so here's the criteria. Acts chapter 6 was really the first deacons that were elected. First Timothy gives us the criteria and is number one, worthy of respect. Now don't feel bad about yourself, but these are something that you can see in others. Are you worthy of respect? Just sincere, but not double-tongued. Your self-control regarding alcohol, which as far as I'm concerned means none. Not greedy for dishonest gain. You're grounded in sound doctrine. You're tested and approved. Tested and proved. You're faithful in your marriage. You lead your household well. Full of the Spirit and wisdom. You're a faithful giver and tither. Because part of the job is to oversee the finances of this church. And how would you be capable of overseeing the finances of the church if you're not faithful in your giving? And so it just makes sense. Serving the congregation. If you're not serving anywhere, as far as I'm concerned, you're not our man. Right? You need to be a servant of God, because this is a great servant. Promotes unity and the sports present leadership, respected. And the last one I would say is you are a prayer warrior, because we believe in prayer and you have to be an example of that. This that we just came through to me is one of the most important parts of our service. And that's the deacons and elders praying for the people of the church. So if you would turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4. We're continuing on John chapter 4, verse 27 through 38 and verse 42. And I call this the power of testimony, the power of a testimony. So it says, and at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Marveled is a nice word. Yet no one said, what do you seek? Why are you talking to her, right? With a little bit of intention there. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to meet him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Aren't you glad the disciples are clueless? I'm so thankful. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his works. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. I want to read verse 42 because, you know, last week I talked to you about this lady that was ostracized and looked down upon, but Jesus loved her. And I want you to see this because in verse 42, it shows you the feeling that the townspeople had towards this woman. It says they had come out and they had talked to Christ. Said, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. In other words, they're telling this world, we didn't believe you, but we witnessed. Are you getting that? There was a real feeling towards this woman that was not kind, not embracing. She was ostracized by her community. Folks, aren't you thankful that God goes out for the ostracized? He goes for the religious people, the Nicodemuses of the world, but he also reaches out to the person that the community says there's no value there. Well, there may not be value into the community, but there is value to Christ. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you today recognizing, Lord, that you have a word for this church. God, as we just listen to these songs, Lord, you are building something, a theme in this church today, God. You are building an army, God, and we recognize what you are doing today. So, Lord, I pray, God, help to open our ears and our hearts that we just don't just hear the words, but let us hear the spirit of what the word is preaching today. God, I pray, Lord, I pray there would not be one person that would leave this congregation today that would not be challenged by the Holy Spirit, Lord, to become more of your servant, God. So use us, whatever capabilities, Lord, you want to. God, we are open and ready for you. And the answer that we will say today is yes. Yes, here I am, Lord. Send me, is what Isaiah said. There's no more appropriate answer than that, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we studied about the lady who come out and talked to Jesus, and he asked her for a drink of water. And then as they talked, he said, you know, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask me for water and I would have given you living water. Jesus has living water. And we all know that. What you don't maybe realize is you have that living water also. So today, his disciples are coming back into where Christ is at. They see him conversing with this woman and they're intrigued, I guess you could say, more like, what in the world are you doing? He talks to them. They talk to him and they say, hey, we went to town. We got some food. So we're going to prepare you a little bite here, Christ. And he said, don't worry about it. I'm not hungry. I've been eating already. I've got food that you know not of. He's got living water and now he's got food and he hadn't taken a drink and he hadn't eaten a bite. What was he talking about? When you do the will of the Father, when you are used of God, it's more satisfying than the best chocolate cake you can eat, right? The best steak you can put. How many? Come on. Can I hear a testimony? Come on. Am I preaching right? There's something delightful. There's something satisfying about knowing that God spoke through me to whomever. It doesn't matter. God used me to play the piano and lead worship, to lead a song today. God used me to be that timely person. I was just getting a drink at the water fountain, and all of a sudden, I began to feel the unction of the Holy Ghost to pour it out upon sharing my faith, upon sharing the love of Christ to this person. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to tell you, it's charged me up. And that's what Christ was saying. I don't need food. I don't need water. What I've got, when I do the will of the Father, when I complete the mission of God, and if you've never done this and never felt this, I feel sorry for you. Because you're missing something greater than anything in life. I know you think, oh, he's exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not blowing it. I'm telling you, there is something when you know that God spoke through you, there's something humbling, but it's something charging also. Doing the will of the Father. This lady went to town and she said, could this be the Christ? Did I find the Messiah? The testimony of one. Do you remember Jim Stockdale? He preached here a couple of months ago. He said the power of one. Man, I thought that was one of the greatest sermons I'd ever heard. The power of one, the testimony of one, your testimony. You see, there's a lie that floats through the body of Christ. That if I haven't been delivered from drugs, if I've not been on the very bottom looking up, then I don't have a testimony. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie to keep you quiet. Everyone, every butt in the seat has a testimony of the goodness of God. And every one of them is different. And yes, these people that's been delivered from drugs have a powerful testimony. But don't think yours is not just as good. It will minister to people that the other one... Am I making sense? He says, the harvest is ripe. He said, oh, we always say in 4 months. Doesn't that sound like the church? One of these days, we're going to do something for Jesus. Today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get busy for Christ. Come on. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see how close we are to the coming of Jesus. If that brings fear in your heart, then maybe you need to get some things right. You know, Satan is the god of distractions. Don't you know that's the world we live in? How many people know about the 40-hour work week? Biggest lie we teach, right? Who works 40 hours? Ain't nobody works 40 hours. You work 40 hours and then your job starts, right? I mean, if Satan just gets us busy and busy and busier, why? Because he don't want you to do God's will. You know, Jesus was just, we preached last week, he had a divine appointment. He knew that lady was going to be at that water. Have you ever... Have you ever wondered why people come up to you? Especially hurting people? Has it ever irritated you? God, why have all these people just bothering me? You old grouch. Why? Because they recognize there's living water in you. You better stop and reevaluate. That was a word from the Lord. You better stop and reevaluate. Quit complaining about what God is doing. Say, oh, I don't do that. Oh, yeah, you do. I'll just get real practical. Why is all these losers keep coming to me? Well, first of all, they're not losers. They're special and precious in the sight of God. But why are they coming to you? Because you have living water that maybe you have not thought about for a while. See, they say, Pastor, Jesus has the living waters. Well, who's inside of you? The Spirit of Jesus. So if Jesus had living water, then you have living water. Now, maybe you need to tap the well a little bit. Prime the pump, right? You need to get some things flowing. So how do you do that? Prayer, walking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. You better wake up and smell the coffee brewing. Am I preaching to you? Why? Because there's hurting people. There's people going to hell. Do you know, I mean, I've been saved all my life. I can remember when I was a kid in the 60s. Yeah, I'm that old. As a kid in the 60s, you know, churches used to just come up and just get around the altar. You know what they was praying for? More money, God, we need more money. No. God, give me a better car, give me a better house, give me a better job, give me. No! God, give us souls! There's people going there. What's happened to the church? We've lost our desire. We've lost our burden to see people saved and come into. I'm telling you, the people that Christ ran into were on their way to hell. But for a Savior, and you were too. I don't care how good you think you are. Good people go to hell. Believers go to heaven. Do you believe? The harvest is ripe. Folks, did you hear me? The harvest is ripe. People are ready to know Christ. People are hurting in this world today. You need to get busy. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 and 45, there's two parables. There's the parable of the hidden treasure, where a man finds a treasure in a field. He goes and sells everything he has to buy that field so he can get that treasure. And then there's the parable of the pearl of great price. A man finds this pearl that he falls in love with this pearl. He sees real value in this thing. Again, the parable is very similar. Goes and sells everything he has so that he can purchase that pearl. What is the treasure, folks? What is the pearl? It's people. It's people. It's lost people. When will lost people become valuable to us again? Are you hearing my words? The testimony of one. How do we accomplish this? We're not going to do some grand marketing scheme. We're going to commission you. If I had a sword, I would hit you on the shoulder today. You are commissioned as an ambassador for Christ. Go. 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 I wanted to tell you a story today. It's a Bible story. Mark chapter 5. Jesus, I think it was in Mark 4, Jesus told his disciples, he said, let's go to the other side. So he gets in the boat, gets down where he's not bothered, gets a pillow, and he falls asleep. Right? They a big storm brews up, and Jesus has to say, peace, be still. I want you to know, Satan tried his best to not allow Jesus to get to the other side. Because when Jesus got to the other side, what happened? I forgot the name of the city. Where was he at? Let's see. He went to the Gerasenes. The Gerasenes. And so when Jesus steps out of a boat, here comes a crazy naked man just running to him. Be surprised what comes to you. I mean, just coming to him, just, oh, Jesus, Jesus, what do you want with me?
Right.
Demon-possessed man. So what is your name? My name's Legion, for there are many inside of me. A legion of soldiers was somewhere between 3,000 and 6,000. That man was consumed with demonic spirits. But he knew somebody just stepped ashore that could change my life. Are you getting this? Why do people come to you? I've had people tell me this all my life. Man, people just come up to me in Walmart and tell me their story. They just start burying their soul, like telling me things that they ought not say. And people are questioning that, and they're like, I don't understand that. Come on, wake up. They're coming to you and they're telling you their story because they see something in you that you don't see. They see the answer to my problems. The answer to life is within you. This man ran up to Jesus. This guy was messed up, demon possessed, dwelt among the tombs, howled at night. They tried to put chains on him, but they couldn't hold him. He'd break the chains. He cut himself. Do you know that our kids today are cutting themselves? That's as old as this story. It's a demon possessed type of, now I'm not saying they're demon possessed, but that attitude, that activity is demonic. They're inflicting pain and God doesn't want that. The Bible says couldn't be tamed. Now I'm going to add one to it. I think he was eating the neighborhood cats. This guy running around the mountains had to be eating something. I think Fluffy didn't have a chance, right? He's a cat eater. I just know it in my spirit. This guy was crazy. I bought 5 acres from Daniel and we moved up on this hillside and built a house. I promise you, I don't care if Daniel would have said, I'm going to give you 5 acres. If I had seen a naked man running in the woods, howling at the moon, I would not have taken that property, right? That is not the kind of neighbor that you want, I promise you. People were scared of this guy. Rightfully so. They should have been scared of him. No fear in Christ. Are you getting that? This man comes running up and Jesus didn't go, ooh. I met a woman when I was in Africa. They said, will you pray for this woman? Boy, did I miss it. I said, yeah, I called her Crazy Eyes. That was my nickname for her. Oh, Miss Crazy Eyes? I didn't know her. I didn't speak Swahili. I didn't know who it was, but her eyes was messed up. It was just, she was just all over the place. The next day we happened to go back and cast a demon out of her. More than one, I believe. Oh, Crazy Eyes got delivered. I'm telling you, this is true. Americans, we don't like to believe that. Oh, that maybe happens in Africa. I'm telling you, there's people in Paris, Tennessee that is bound by a demon. A lot of things that we think are just situational, just cultural, just a problem. No. There's a spirit there. There's oppression and there's depression. Possession, I'm sorry. He says, as they begin to cry out, he says, What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? The demons begin to cry out and say, don't torture me. Don't torture us. And so they said, we know what's fixing to happen. This is the unseen story, basically. Those demons saying, we know you're not going to allow us to stay in this man. So when you cast us out, will you cast us into those pigs over there? Now, that tells you a couple of different things. One, it tells you this was not a Jewish area. This was a Gentile area. Jews didn't raise pigs. Okay, it's an unclean animal. They're just not going to be around them. So this was a Gentile area. Jesus reached Nicodemus. Jesus reaches the Samaritan woman. He takes a boat, goes across the ocean, across the Sea of Galilee. Why? To reach a demon-possessed Gentile. Don't ever believe the lie of the devil that says you don't matter. And I think the devil tells every one of us that at some point in our life, well, you really don't matter in the kingdom. You don't matter. You do matter. You do matter. Jesus cast those demons out. They said those demons ran to that herd of pigs, 2,000 pigs on that hillside. Those demons got into those pigs. They ran down and committed suicide. The pigs drowned themselves in this water. The townspeople, a little ways off, they hear about this story. Hey, all these pigs drowned themselves. I mean, the pigs don't do that. But they, all of a sudden, this guy goes free and the pigs go crazy. And so the people come out to see what's going on over there on that hillside. I think that's pretty smart. They get down there where Jesus is, and they see the guy that used to run around howling at the moon. Are you following this? The guy that they were scared to death of is now sitting with Christ in his right mind, conversing with Jesus, having a conversation. His diet won't be cats any longer. Right? He's now, Jesus has set him free, and the scripture says something very, very interesting. And they were afraid. Yes. Who was afraid? The townspeople was afraid because they saw something supernaturally just happen to that man. That's not the time to be afraid. The time to be afraid is when this naked guy is running around your neighborhood. Then you better be afraid. Especially if you identify him as demon possessed, there ain't nothing that devil won't do. They're so scared. They come to Jesus and they said, "Do you mind leaving?" Oh my. Come on. Get the seriousness of that. How many churches have witnessed something supernatural of God and ask the Holy Spirit to leave because it looked a little strange? It scared me. You know, spiritual things will scare you sometimes. Why? Because they're not carnal. We're so used to operating in the carnal that sometimes spiritual things scare us. Don't step back from the Spirit. Now, I'm not into crazy. Are you following me? I'm not into crazy. I believe the Spirit of God has control. But I am into falling and following Him. Does that make sense to you? I can't imagine these townspeople coming to Him and saying, "We were better off without you." That's what they said. "You made us lose our pigs." 2,000 pigs, I understand that's a lot of money. But what's a soul worth? That man was lost, but now he's found. That man was demon possessed, and now he's in his right mind. And we're going to ask Jesus to leave our area? I know some of you are saying, "Well, this is a Bible story. This happens every day." Are you following me? Every day, people are asking Jesus to get out of Dodge because you make me uncomfortable. Maybe you need to be made uncomfortable. So Jesus complies. Do you know when you tell the Holy Spirit, "Get thee behind me," He will. When you tell the Holy Spirit, "I don't want this," He'll obey you. He's a gentleman. He does not force Himself upon you. Are you following me? Are you tracking? Jesus gets back in the boat. That man, I don't even like to call him Legion at this point because he ain't Legion no more. He comes up and he says, I need to go with you. I just want to be with you. You ever felt that way?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. I just want to be with him. And Jesus said, no. What? Jesus wouldn't let him in the boat. No, you can't come with me. Why? Because you need to go home and tell everybody what has happened to you. Come on, somebody. You know, I can't tell you how many people come to me and say, I have a testimony I want to share in the church. Do you realize, and there's nothing wrong with that, but do you realize your testimony is not meant for the church?
Amen.
Your testimony is meant for out there. These people know Jesus. Those people don't. And they need to hear that God is able to sober you up. Even when no one knows that you're an alcoholic. There's some powerful testimonies in this church right now. Every one of you have a powerful testimony of what God has done. He said, no, you can't go with me. Go on home. And at this point, you know, I think end of story. Okay. We don't know because the Bible never says this is what happened. But I think you can summarize just a little bit. Can I summarize a little bit and you go with me? Somewhere in Mark 6 or 7, there's a lady of a, she's not quite in, now the area is known as Decapolis. The area where this man was, he was in the Gadarenes, but the area of that he was in is called the area of the 10 cities. Decapolis means 10 cities. And so he goes home to Decapolis and he obviously begins to tell the people what's happened. And there's a lady by the, we just know her as a Syrophoenician woman that comes to Christ, who in other words is not Jewish, she's Gentile. And she comes to Jesus and she said, my daughter is demon possessed and you can deliver her. And he said, it's not right to take the bread for the children and cast it to the dogs. Insulting. What is she going to do with that statement? She's going to come back with a statement full of faith. Yeah, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the Lord's from the table. In other words, Jesus, I've seen in you. There's so much goodness. All I'm asking for is a crumb. And he said, go on home. Your daughter's demon, she's free. Here's my question to you. How did she know that Jesus could deliver her daughter from a demon? Just a guess, but I'm guessing that she met a guy that used to be called Legion. Here a little bit later, Jesus is in the Decapolis. And the Bible says that this guy comes up to him that had a speech impediment. And the Bible says that Jesus pulled him away from the crowd. Where did the crowd come from? Old man Legion. Are you following me? He had done a job. Jesus heals the man with a speech impediment. Mark chapter 8. This is all right in order. Jesus is in Decapolis. And he feeds 4,000 men. Not counting women and children. 4,000. So let's just say every man had a wife and every family of four. We're looking at probably 16,000 people on that hillside. Where did they come from? One man. I believe this with all my heart, folks. I believe this dude, this cat-eating dude, went back and said, just like the woman, I met a man. Say, hey, aren't you the crazy guy that runs around the woods? I used to be, but I ain't that man no more. Hey, aren't you the drug addict? You got anything for sale? I used to be that man, but I ain't that man no more. Are you following me? I think that the devil has sold us a bill of goods that we think we're not important, that our testimony is not going to matter. It matters, folks. It matters. Think about this. I'm telling you, thousands of people gathered to hear Christ. Why? Because of this man, I believe. Because of the testimony of one, they gather around Jesus, and he has a crowd now of 16,000, and that's an estimate, 16,000 people came to hear, came to meet the man that freed the man. Isn't that awesome? Couple of things the Lord dropped in my heart. Faith begins when a seed is planted. You know, you may never win a soul to Christ, but you just keep planting seeds. Because there's somebody who's going to come behind you and they're going to reap what you have sowed. I really believe, fully believe, that we honor those who have come before us. That's why I honor David and Julia O'Brien oftentimes in the church, because he pastored this church 50 years ago. Now I wasn't in this building, it was where the Dollar Tree was. But right there used to be a little Assembly God church, and that man right there and his wife pastored that church. It is fair to say we are here today because of people like that, that sowed the seed in Paris, right? So we give them honor for that sacrifice, probably never realizing what could be in Paris, Tennessee, and we ain't seen it yet. You look around you and say, oh, is this what God had? No. This is a fraction of what God has in store for Bridge of Hope Church. This church, 9 o'clock service, look around, it ought to be full. Amen. Why? Because you're such a good preacher? Yes. No. Because the Spirit of God is here. And I know you, in our little foggy mind, we think that's every church. It is not. It is not. Love of Christ is in this place. Why? Because you brought him. You brought him with you. So let's tell people. Revelation 12:11, you know this verse. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Do you realize you're testifying, you're sharing your faith helps you. It solidifies you. In Psalms chapter 2, verse 8, he says, only ask and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the whole earth as your possession. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. So something the Lord shared with me early this morning. Is there a mountain in your life that you think is uncrossable? I can't get past this. It's a challenge in the Spirit of God today for this service that Jesus says there is no impassable mountains. You may be facing a challenge that you think you cannot get through. And I'm telling you here that this is really not part of the sermon. This is a word from the Lord. Jesus is saying, I can get you through it. I can take you through this. I know the pass. I know how to get over the mountain. You may be blind to it, but he's saying, I know. Follow me. Follow me. Will you stand with me? It's at this time that we would ask you to pray for boldness, to pray for courage. And if you've heard me preach, you know that I don't believe that we need boldness. I believe we need love. The love of God constrains us. The love of God. See, when you don't need boldness, you need more love. Love for the lost. And I'm going to ask you, are you bold enough to ask Jesus, God, will you give me a desire to see people saved? Will you lay that on my heart? You know, I believe that whatever's on the heart of God ought to be on our heart. Whatever motivates Jesus ought to motivate us. I will tell you what motivates Jesus is the lost getting saved. We are to do the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? The harvest. Hey, look over there. The harvest is ripe. What do I need? I need harvesters. I need some workers in my field. I need some used to be legions. People need to hear your testimony. Quit being irritated with people coming up to you and telling you their problems. Understand that they have recognized something in you. They're not telling everybody their problems. They're telling you. Why? Because they saw something in you. Maybe it's that food. Maybe it's that living water. Can I pray for you? If you want to come forward and make a declaration to the Lord, these altars are always open. I shouldn't even have to ask you. If the Spirit of God has just pricked you today, you need to say, I need to get up here and I need to just say, God, I recognize. I feel what you just said to me and I'm responding to the cry. Say, I can do that at my chair, not as well as you can do it here. I don't know why. There is something about stepping out of your chair, coming to an altar, not to impress anybody, but just to tell God, I'm serious about this. I have felt the Spirit of God speak to me today and I am responding and I am saying yes. Father God, I pray right now, Lord. Lord, I know that this service, this sermon was meant for these people. I know you placed this on my heart. God, it wasn't on my radar until I began to study the scripture and you put it on my heart. You put legion on my heart. It didn't even seem to go with the sermon. God, as I prepared the sermon, I thought, what does he have to do with this? And you showed me. And so, Father, I know there are people here right now wrestling with this idea that I am not significant. I don't matter. And I pray right now that they would hear the Spirit of God say, you do matter. You do have a testimony. You know something about me that no one else knows, and I'm asking you to share it. I will bring people to you. This is a prophecy. I will bring people to you if you will say yes today. If you will recognize they're not just coming to you for no reason. They're coming to you because they've seen the water of the living water in you. And if you say yes today, I will let that living water flow in you. You better hear the voice of the Lord today, guys. That was a prophetic word. Now, if you will say yes today, God will honor his word. God, I pray, Lord, right now, let me be burdened for what burdens you. Let me feel the heart of the Savior right now. God, when we sang that song about the army, raise up an army, God. Lord, I just got so excited. I got so excited about what you're doing right here, right now, at this very moment in time. You are enlisting your soldiers to build an army in Henry County. God, wherever we go, we take you with us. Empower us right now by your Spirit, God. Empower, make my words, Lord, salty. Make my words make other people thirsty for you. Lord, help me to walk in total humility, in total love, but recognize when someone comes to me, they're coming seeking you. And I have it. I have the most precious gift in this world inside of me. It's one of the mysteries that Paul wrote about. Christ in me, the hope of glory. God, I pray right now that you would commission every person in this room to be your ambassador, to be your voice piece, to share their testimony. No one can deny what God has done in them. Father, we receive this today, and we recognize it's the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to us. So Lord, we receive it as a heavenly command today, not the suggestion of a preacher. It's a heavenly command to go, 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 go across the street. Tell your neighbor that Jesus loves them. Speak up on the elevator. When you're at the doctor's, tell the other people about the goodness of God. When you're in the grocery store, someone says, where's the Campbell's soup? Say, I'm not really for sure, but can I tell you where something else is at? Father, just make us sensitive. Make us sensitive to the voice of God. Lord, I pray, God, that this 9 o'clock service would be overflowing. God, why? Because they have brought their friends in. Because they have told people, Jesus will touch you and set you free. You have a hope, and that hope is in Christ. God, we repent. Listen to my words, folks. We repent that we have not been praying for the lost to get saved. We repent that we have not been praying the prodigals come to their senses. We repent that we go to work every day and people don't know that we are born again believers. God, that's not the attitude that you want for us. And I pray right now, commission us today in Jesus' name. Now, Father, you see every person that's down here in the front. God, these are people that says, I've felt the Spirit. I've sensed that you had a word for me. I pray right now, God, let revelation knowledge flow. Open their heart. Their heart is open. I pray now, Lord, just send a word. Send your word. Your word. Your word right now, Jesus. Do a spiritual work in each and every one of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
If I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes. 'Cause I love you. I love you. If I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be. I love you.
and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.